Okay, sorry. So maybe those of you who attended the Berlin EPICS meeting remember the presentation given by Yves about the idea of a journal on software and computing. So this is basically an update of what is now a running project. So just to refresh you, a few words of what I call the prehistory. It means the things that happened in the last years. Basically, there was an idea that started probably 3 or 4 years ago by a German physicist called Günter Kast from KIT, of having a journal dedicated to the kind of computing we are doing. And it was presented, so it was discussed during a couple of years by a few people. And the idea was presented by Yves. So for me, it was the first time I heard about it. It was at 1 year ago at EPICS. So it was presented after EPICS, let's say during the whole spring. It was presented at several occasions, several places, in particular at the HSF workshop we had in Orsay. A few weeks after, it was presented at the GDB beginning of June, in particular by Marcus Helsing. I put the presentation here if you want to look at this. And I would say that since then, basically, since the first presentation, the feedback has always been positive, saying that it was clearly addressing something that was missing. And I would say the main, what I call controversial topic, but it was not so controversial, was the discussion we had basically at EPICS about what was exactly the perimeter, what was the scientific fields involved, whether it should be only physics or all the sciences, data-intensive science or whatever. And so after a few months of discussion, basically the word chosen was big science. So if you don't know what is big science, tap it in Google, you will find a Wikipedia page about it. My personal summary is that this is basically every science based on big equipments requiring long planning, large collaborations, a lot of money, and a lot of computing. And so I mentioned, but it's not because it was exclusive to France, but in particular that at the end of spring and beginning of the autumn, there was quite a good mobilization in France around the project. And this is one of the reasons I ended up being involved in it. So I just want to remind you the main motivations. The main motivations are that there are several scientific communities that produce a large amount of data. And by large, we basically say order of petabyte. And have to analyze them. And these experiments generally are not run by a few individuals, but by large collaborations. So HCP, and in particular LHC, is clearly at the forefront of this. But we are not the only one, and in particular, if you are aware of them, the next generation in astrophysics, astroparticles like CTA, SKA, LSST are on the same line. In nuclear physics, the next generation of experiment, particularly at FAIR, on the same line, and not to speak about photon science and biology, and we already heard about it at EPICS. And Sherry, and I would say that all these scientific communities share basically a lot of computing technologies and are facing, more importantly, common computing challenges. And so I know that EPICS, we know it, we heard about it, we had regular presentation from these other communities, just to mention our presentation in Berlin. And it's not only about the computing resource side, it's also about all the software chain and the applications and all the challenges there to deal with parallelization of applications, to efficiently use the new kind of fancy hardware that you can find. And one thing that I think almost everybody agrees on is that no community can address these challenges alone. So collaboration is a requirement, and to collaborate, I would say, probably publishing what you are doing is a prerequisite. In addition to the challenge of managing, the challenge in particular of managing and distributing this large amount of data led up to the development of several frameworks. We have several of them in the LHC community. But often, despite it was a long and significant development, they are generally not very known outside the community who developed them. And So sharing the information is also basically the only way to avoid reinventing the wheel for every new major experiment. And we see it in particular with the new astrophysics experiments or these communities that are not well connected with us, despite we have some commonalities, and where basically our tools are not very well known. And we don't know very much about their tools also. So the publication challenge is that basically there is almost no place today to publish about the R&D and the solutions we have. We are too complicated for publishing in physics reviews. We are too engineering-centric or not enough research to be published in computing science reviews. We have a few places where we can publish proceedings, like CHEP, for example, or ACAT, but this is conferences that are not run that frequently, and so it means that they cannot really fill the gap. And the end result is that there are things published, but they are very dispersed, and it's very difficult to find them, identify them if you need them. The other challenge is that at some point it's not enough just, you could also just publish something in a blog or whatever, a web server, your preferred web server or hosting service. But at some point, if you want the information to be useful to others, it has to be at some point validated. You should be confident, if you look at it, that what you are looking at is something that is useful, that has been validated, has been used, not just a crazy idea by somebody one day. So this raises the importance of validation and a peer-reviewed journal that can be a real reference archive for the knowledge and sharing it in data-intensive science, like big sciences. And it means that if the content has to be, for this, the content has to be validated and its value recognized, and this is basically what is doing the impact factor. And if you want to have an impact factor, does that mean you want to have a high impact factor? Just you need to have one, it can be low. It means you need to be indexed by some of the people who are doing this job across the world. And this raised the goal to publish something like 25, 30 articles per year. So this is not exactly nothing. But one benefit of such a journal also, in addition to sharing the knowledge, is also to help with the career recognition of the research software engineers, in particular the young people, and we know that this is a very big problem in our communities. So this is a journal about software and computing for big science, so it really exists. This is an online journal with a continuous publication in partnership with Springer, who is an editor. So probably some of you met him, Christian Caron, who is an executive publisher, publishing editor at Springer, is in charge of this journal. He has been involved in the project since the very beginning. He is very motivated. He was in Berlin. Maybe some of you met him or in other places. In this project, Springer is providing all the manuscript handling system to help with an efficient peer review. And this is not something you do by just exchanging emails. So this is very important for us. And the currently, as presented originally, the current business model is a so-called hybrid model, where basically, rather than a pure open access model, it means that normally it's open access for the people who contribute to the funding and paid access for the others. Until we can get a potential inclusion in an open access initiative, because if you know a little bit about open access is not really free access. It's a, let's say, organization that agrees to pay at the source for the publication of the thing so that the people can have free access at the end. And one of the initiatives that organize these kind of things is the so-called scope-free, that is about particle physics and organized by CERN. But we were too late for the inclusion in the second phase, and in fact, probably the third phase, that will be in 2019, will be a good time after 2 years of existence to maybe be included. But in the short term, it doesn't change anything because Springer decided that during the first 2 years, so that the journal becomes known, it will be free access for everybody. So let's say in the beginning and maybe forever it will be open access. And the type of articles that are envisioned are basically, standard topical articles, advanced tutorials, project or technology reviews. We don't plan to really publish proceedings not because we don't like proceedings, but first there are other places for this, and also this is really something that can cause trouble for the indexing. And one thing is also to avoid publishing things that have been published somewhere else, avoid duplication. For the topics, the list of topics, I think this is the list that was presented by Eve 1 year ago. The basic idea, it's not an exhaustive list, the basic idea of this list is to say everything about computing and software relevant in our communities. So, no restriction here. And the current status is that the journal has been launched this winter, so you see the page, the logo of the journal. There is a website, so you have the URL here, and there is, as for any journal, a scientific advisory board and an editorial board that have been created. So the scientific advisory board is really in charge of, giving the overall directions and the blessing for the initiative, and this is very well-known people in our community. So I mentioned just two of them, but there are, I think, around 10 of them, like Eckhard Elson, who is the research director at CERN, John Harvey, who is a veteran of software in our community, and quite a few others, and people from other communities, from astrophysics, from nuclear physics. And the first editorial board meeting took place at CERN 1 month ago. The article submission is now open. Just if you want to submit something, just go to the website. The first article, in fact, was received last week and is currently being reviewed. You should think about what you could publish. I think this is one of the important things. And I think one of the ideas the editorial board has in mind is that a lot of things that are presented in EPICS are worth being published in such a journal. And we are very flexible about the format and length of articles because it is an online journal, there is no real limit. I would say probably the minimum is a few pages, but it was reported by Christian Caron that it happens that one article in one the journal was 900 pages, so feel free. There is no plan to make a very big, very active advertisement until we have quite a few articles that are representative of what the journal wants to be. But doesn't mean that you should not try to inform all your colleagues and all the people that could be interested or could contribute. So maybe this is my last word on the summary. This is your journal, in fact. This is our journal. The editorial board has several EPICS members, in fact. That we are about 18 in the editorial board from all continents and horizons. I mentioned here, so there is Gang Chen, Yves Kemp, Helge Ménard, and myself. So very close to what EPICS is. I also mentioned the names of the three editors in chief. Maybe you know them. There is Günter Quas from Germany, the people who had the initiative. Markus Elsing from CERN, who is somebody really involved in software and online software triggers. And Volker Beckmann from France, despite his name, who is from astrophysics. There is no journal without readers, but there is also no journal without authors. So really, I want to insist, you are among the potential authors. If you have an idea, feel free to contact us, even if you are not sure exactly about what you can do, or if you want to discuss with us who could be the other people who could contribute with you. We are very open, so you know at least four people here. And the journal is really an opportunity to increase the collaboration with other communities. It's not really about only particle physics, it's really about all big science. And here EPICS has clearly a role to play because this is something we are doing for quite a long time. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions for Michel? Okay, if you nobody has a question, I actually do like to ask a question. So you mentioned that EPICS has a role to play. Is this something that we should be advertising within HAPEX in general?
Yes, sure, sure. I think that.
I mean, what I mean is, should we be placing some additional information on every time we host a meeting? So if people decide they want to submit an article, I mean, that's something that could be discussed.
No, I think it would be very nice. Maybe we could also have a point on our website, and at some point, maybe when we have already one or two articles. I think we should not, you know, spam the people every week about the journal. So maybe we can wait for having maybe one, two or three articles to send an email, for example, on the EPICS list or whatever. We know that there were, let's say, in the pipe there were quite a few articles, so we need the people to do the things. We have already one, and I think that by the summer we will have probably already three or four of them, and at this time we can. But we can at least maybe put the logo and a pointer to the URL of the journal, for example, on our website.
Okay, if there are no other questions, let's thank Michelle again.